Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons stars in the new MGM Plus original series, The Westies.
There it is, Javits Center.
Biggest construction project in the history of New York falls into the lap of the Irish.
This Irish crime gang built New York City on blood, sweat, and loyalty. Their legend is true.
The Italians outnumber us about 100 to 1.
Their story is criminal.
This Irish guy's threatening war.
He's gotta go.
Keep out of Hell's Kitchen.
The Westies. Watch now. Only on MGM Plus.
Okay, welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, Tuesday, August 19th. Today we're going to be talking about, we actually have a decent amount of news to get to today. And then after that, we are going to be reviewing Nobody 2, movie that we...
Let's go!
Nobody 2, for a movie we've been looking forward to for quite a bit. And then we're going to be doing a combined ranking of a most anticipated for the rest of the year, because it's almost like... You would typically want to do it at like the actual halfway point of the year, but I feel like this is more the cinematic halfway point of the year because all the great movies come out at the end of the year. So like you have a lot more. It's very backloaded, typically, the most anticipated. It's like it's a decent amount of like blockbusters in the center of the year, but then like the prestige is all at the end. So
I want to say it's almost gotten worse recently. Like there definitely used to be a barrage of, you know, the usual suspects, the Oscar bait contenders at the end of the year. But now they've just dumped them all in November and December, which is kind of annoying because, like, we hit this part of the year. We hit January, February. We hit May, April. It's slim pickings. Like, you get a Sinners, you get a Weapons, you get a couple things, but you don't get really much outside of just entertaining popcorn flicks. And even then, they're kind of moving them towards the end of the year. We got Wicked, Avatar, we got a lot of shit coming up.
Yeah, a lot of stuff, and a lot of stuff on Christmas too, specifically, or Christmas, change of Christmas. Before we get to all those things, we can talk about the thing everyone wants to talk about. I mean, besides the fact that Justin Herbert is dating Madison Beer, I can't confirm that, but somebody, they have those Stan accounts for everybody, but they have one for Madison Beer, and it's just like, the Stan account just takes a picture. It's her and a guy that looks... some like slightly off angle, but it looks exactly like Justin Herbert right next to her. And they're like, yeah, look, Madison Beer shooting a new music video. And now all the replies are just guys being like, holy shit, is that Justin Herbert? And like the Stan account has no idea who that is whatsoever. And she's just like, why is everyone going nuts?
But is there any shot that he's just in the music video?
That he'd be a wild pick to include in the music video. It would be insane. Although weirder things have happened. I was watching some old 90s music video. I forget which one it was for, but I was like, it's some pop hit with a girl talking about getting broken up with, and it was just David Boreanaz was the guy. Like, he's just like hanging out doing like poses in like one of those like cabbie hats. What was it? Music video, White Flag by Dido. And he's just in the background, just chilling in like a very late 90s getup as the, I guess, the guy. If that was the late 90s, maybe. No, God, no, it's 2009. That can't be right. That can't be right. 2003. All right. That sounds more right. But anyway, yeah. I mean, that would be a weird pick from my chess playing king. Anyway.
I used to date her in college.
In Madison Beer, yeah.
I used to date beer in college.
I used to do one or two beers. I've done a beer or two in college.
Yeah.
You're actually from a few towns over from me. And I was looking it up before as I was sleuthing to see if there's any chance this was actually real. Because that, I feel like, is such like a, I can actually have faith in a real MVP season coming. If he's like has a PR relationship going,
brother, I'm telling you right now, speaking from experience, no. You want them down? You want them dating the high school sweetheart? You want them out of car commercials?
No.
They're doing nothing,
dude. Tell that to fucking Tom Brady.
That's true, but we saw them out like three times the whole time they were married.
It's true.
I feel like,
and I guess like Mahomes married his high school sweetheart, so there's not really a lot of veracity to it. But anyway, that's been football talk.
Man, that's going to be so annoying. If you're watching on YouTube right now, I cannot figure out how to turn off this new feature on Apple that moves the camera with me. And it's just, it's not great. It's dizzying.
You just follow.
It's like
own.
Michael Bay is shooting this podcast.
Yeah,
it's just drone footage.
Zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out. But yeah, we could talk about some news first. Ian McKellen said that Frodo will appear in Lord of the Rings, The Hunt for Gollum. That is coming out in 2027. Andy Serkis is directing it. Peter Jackson is producing it. It's kind of weird because like I liked it when they got a little bit of like, you know, Frodo, obviously Orlando Bloom in The Hobbit and stuff like that. I do feel like maybe too much time has passed to be throwing Elijah Wood back into the mix.
Yes. This is crazy. Yeah, no, like this is maybe 8 months ago I would have been excited for this, but after the war for Rohirrim, I'm like, they're just trying to keep the rights right now. Like that's pretty obvious. This feels so just thrown together at the last minute to figure out like, can we get something on the board, something that helps us keep the rights? And they're just like, you know what, Andy, you've been a trooper your whole life with us. You're one of our biggest advocates. Go direct a movie. This does not sound entertaining at all. I don't think Andy's a very good director. I love him. I love him. Not a very good director. Peter Jackson producing doesn't give me a lot of hope either. Like if he was directing, this would be a completely different story. Producing just means it can mean so many different things. And then, yeah. The story also is thin at best. I don't know. Feels like they could do a lot of different things. And I know the rights are split up weirdly, but there's got to be a difference. Just redo the fucking Hobbit. Who would give a fuck? Do the Hobbit again.
Nobody would care at all.
No one would care.
People would go to the theater for that too.
They'd just be like, Peter Jackson gets to do it again. This time he doesn't have to use CGI at the last minute.
Yeah.
Like he can just make a big practical one single, maybe two part, probably just one part Hobbit movie. That would be great.
Yeah.
Hunt for Gollum, though.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm trying to look through because I was like, I thought there was one circus movie that I really liked, but no, it's mostly just bad. It's Venom, Let There Be Carnage, which was really bad, and Mowgli, not good. And then some like TV movie stuff, Animal Farm.
Mowgli, the third best Jurassic, or not Jurassic, Jungle Book adaptation.
Yeah, out of three?
the fourth best, because there was two Jungle Books. Forgot about that. Weren't there?
Live action ones, I think there was three, unless I'm missing one.
Mowgli was the third one, right? There was like two just straight up ones just called Jungle Book.
Although I'm sure there's somewhere he was definitely like second AD, although that's obviously not the same. Oh yeah, he was second AD on like all the Hobbit movies, which also not particularly a great thing.
It's funny you say that. I actually watched like the first half of The Hobbit on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Randomly.
There's parts of it, especially in the first Hobbit movie, which I like. Like, you know what I mean? Like you get kind of the vibe of like, you know, we're going on an adventure. Like you get that same start, like the goofiness of the dwarves. I think that plays well. It's just, it just shouldn't have been.
No. Three movies and the CGI killed it.
Yeah. That's tough. Especially the two main orcs being fully CGI. Like,
yeah.
It was like, what the fuck was the guy with the sword on his son?
Damn.
Something with a G. Like, damn it. Not Gothmog. That's a fucking a Balrog. Orc. What the fuck was that guy's name? Azog. Azog the Defiler. Yeah.
Yes.
Fucking, What We Do in the Shadows ass name. I love that. And then his son, who was even worse CGI. That was not great.
And then they had Evangeline Lilly trying to fuck one of the dwarves. That was great.
The hot dwarf.
The hot dwarf.
Because the physiology of the dwarves like makes no sense. Like either you look like a miniature, extremely hot smoke, or like you are a gnome. Like there's one or the other. Yeah.
Yes. You look like you're like a fifth year senior at some shitty frat in the SEC. That's what that hot dwarf looked like.
What the fuck was his name?
Iconic summer moments deserve an iconic drink. Reach for Mountain Dew, an American original. From its beginnings in the foothills of Tennessee to your biggest summer yet. The refreshing citrus kick of Mountain Dew is the perfect companion to your American summer adventures. Enjoy the refreshing citrus kick of Mountain Dew. Tasting great since 48. Look for Mountain Dew in stores near you at MountainDew.com. That's MountainDew.com.
Shit, Thorin, Philly and Killy, those are the brothers.
Yeah. I think
both of them died in The Hobbit, not to spoil it, I think. Damn, RIP my dogs. But yeah, so that is The Hunt for Gollum. The Duffer Brothers are leaving Netflix to go to Paramount. The big deal apparently is that they were enticed, like Paramount's like, we're going to let you make theatrical movies. And that's the thing that sold them to go over there. To tell you the truth, like, I'm not, I know the last season of Stranger Things was like good. I mean, the previous ones, at least to me, I just weren't. And I struggle to think of like what they could make, because like they made one, to me at least, like one very good season of like introductory television, which if it was mm-hmm. just what a miniseries, that goes down as one of the better miniseries Netflix ever made. Instead, it got extended into a series, and now it's like, oh, that was obviously culturally super important, like or very prevalent, but like it's a little bit diluted, at least to me.
Yeah, no, the Duffer Brothers they're interesting to me, to be honest. Like, Stranger Things obviously has run its course, but it's well made enough, and it's been well made enough to really keep the fandom going and be able to be the phenomenon it is. Like, I've tuned out for the most part, but season 4 was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still, they could have easily checked out on this franchise is what I'm saying. Like, this, it could print money on its own, but they've decided to continue to really, I mean, I think there's a high production value with the show. To see them do a movie would be, they've never done a film, right?
They did one film called Hidden, but it was like a cheap psychological thriller, which weirdly has like a kind of stacked cast. It's Alexander Skarsgård and Andrea Riseborough.
Hmm.
2012, though.
Yeah, no, but I mean, anything other than Stranger Things at this point. I hate when these... I mean, obviously, it's great when you get a Vince Gilligan tied up with like Breaking Bad and then Better Call Saul. That's awesome. And X-Files, too, obviously, on his resume. But like for a lot of these TV creators, it's tough when they get just stuck in these series that run too long and you're just waiting for them to do something else, anything else. So this is a good move for them. And I think any filmmaker, if you're like have any kind of self-respect, you should want to be releasing, at least try to release a film in theaters at some point in your career.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And just to like back up your point that you just said, like, and you look at their filmography, it's that one movie in 2015, Hidden. And then mm-hmm. after that, it's they wrote on a show called Wayward Pines, which lasted for a season. And then they did Stranger Things starting in 2016, and they've done nothing since.
Yeah.
Since so that's just a decade of being stuck in Stranger Things. And the only other thing they have on the docket is something called The Burrows, which is another sci-fi series that will be going to Netflix next year with Bill Pullman, Gina Davis, Ed Begley Jr. Let's see. A seemingly picturesque retirement community. Oh, in a seemingly picturesque retirement community, a group of unlikely heroes must band together to stop an unworldly threat from stealing the one thing they don't have, time. So aliens that are siphoning off time or something, or demons that are siphoning up time. I don't know, but yeah. So awesome. I mean, like, just again, it backs up your point. All they've done for a decade is Stranger Things. So if they can pour the juice that they had into that from that first season, because especially at least to me, what they did really well is they captured that sort of like the Goonies formula has been like oft attempted and not very well replicated, I would say, by a lot of movies and TV shows since they came out, especially over the last like two-ish decades, where like they want to get that older, like, I guess, like Gen X parent like grouping or whatever. And that was one of the few things that did it well. So I'm happy if they're able to keep doing that, especially in a theatrical format.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Duffer Brothers, and now Deadpool is going to be in Avengers Doomsday. That felt like a no-brainer. Like, that was just going to happen.
That was ever up for debate.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like apparently he got confirmed now, and he's like, but the big thing is like he said, or Ryan Reynolds said, like, don't expect him to be on the Avengers side. Like, yeah, you wouldn't. You wouldn't.
Do you think? Do you think they have to like censor him? Like, what is going to be the workaround for that?
No, I don't. I think that'll be the whole point. They'll use him as a punchline. Like, he'll come in and say fuck, and they'll be like, whoa,
get their one, and then they can keep it PG-13.
Yeah, it will be like Adam Sandler in Happy Gilmore 2, like on the toilet. Like, oh, you said fuck. that's what they're I think they're banking on out of a Deadpool little scene. But it'll be cool. I do think as like I don't know how to explain, like kind of cringy sometimes Deadpool can be. Like, him interacting with other heroes is I think the best part of him recently. Like, His solo act is whatever, but like I feel like his interactions with the other Marvel superheroes have been good.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't gotten to see him used in like his best. I feel like the best way to use him is in compact small punches versus like the full solo features that we've been getting, which I have enjoyed mostly. Mostly. But like it is at some point, like you're just like, holy shit, how many times can we do the chimichanga joke?
Yeah.
Like you can only take so much of the quips before you're like quipped out.
I wonder if they have him with like, because like him and Spider-Man are a big thing in the comics, right? Like they're.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that'll be cool. A news item just for you, I think. It revolves around a certain director. Can you guess who it is? The Zoom, by the way, just worked. By the way, the webcam just zoomed in on you as you were thinking, and it kind of worked for a second there.
Sam Raimi's behind the camera now. Yeah. I don't know. Is it Sam Raimi?
It's a director that you like that I do not care for one bit.
Baz Luhrmann?
Oh, yeah. Baz Luhrmann is making a movie about Joan of Arc. Historical epic tale of the teenage French peasant Joan of Arc who had believed God sent her to lead an army and save her country during the Hundred Years' War, based on a book by Thomas Keneally, who's a Scottish writer who wrote Schindler's List. So he's making an adaptation by the guy who wrote Schindler's List. The novel explores the imagined psychology of Joan of Arc and tells her story throughout the coronation to the fights and all that stuff. Significant secondary characters include like all the characters basically from the Joan of Arc story. So it's like kind of like a psychological thing where, like, because she had like saw voices and heard people talking to her and all that shit. So I guess you see her seeing ghosts like Sam Darnold or whatever. as you all know, I'm just not. I don't fuck with Baz Luhrmann. Like he's made a couple movies I like. I don't fuck with him on a general scale. And him getting his hands on a historical, I don't want to say epic, but like a historical movie, it frightens me, to say the least.
Why? He's one for one. He's one for one.
On Elvis? Well, what's he going to do?
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, great. So he's 0-2. He's gonna be put fucking Joan of Arc in a fat suit played by fucking like not Tom Hanks this time, but
is this not the one that Jenna Ortega was like attached to?
No, they cast a different actress in it, which is why it came up.
Okay. Well, I mean, have you ever seen the one from the 40s? That's very
the
well
40s one. I saw the one with Mila Jovovich, The Messenger. I want to say that's like from like the late 90s, I think, or maybe early 2000s.
No, I've never seen a single Joan of Arc adaptation. The 40s one's like a big blind spot for me. I know people really respect that one. So I don't know much about the story. On its face, female heroine. That could be fun. But yeah, Baz Luhrmann is like the ultimate wild card. This could come out any number of ways. I can't lie. I'm a little excited about seeing what he does with like a medieval setting with knights and armors. And like, does he go back and do the same thing he did with Romeo plus Juliet, where he modernizes it while keeping it like true to the text? Or does he go the other direction? I don't know. Elvis was bad. It wasn't that bad, but it was bad.
There are parts of Elvis that are good. I'm fully comfortable admitting that. I think Austin Butler was very solid. On a whole,
as long as Tom Hanks doesn't show up and start doing a stupid fucking accent, I'm in.
Yeah, or in a fat suit. He's gonna make this modern day. I hate that you said that. And he's definitely gonna throw some sort of like rap music in here or something. Like,
Doja Cat's already writing this song.
Oh yeah,
he's got the pin pulled out.
He's gonna get someone. He's gonna update it a little bit. It'll be like Glorilla or like fucking.
You know who it's gonna be?
Cardi B,
because her whole aesthetic is like based around
Chapel Roan.
Roan is gonna do it.
You're right. Damn it. When you're right, you're right. Good call. Shit. Damn it, man. It definitely is gonna be Chapel Roan. Fuck, I know.
She's gonna end up being cast as that shit. She's so big.
Yeah, I'm surprised she hasn't already. Next up, there is an Extraction series in the work, which has cast a few people already. The new action thriller series follows mercenary played by Omar Sy, who's from Lupin, among other things. Good actor. Who's been trapped between warring factions and ruthless killers as he navigates a dangerous mission to save hostages in Libya. Yeah, the series delves into an emotional struggle for conflicted false characters, each facing trauma, betrayal, life or death choices. And then Boyd Holbrook is joining in. His character's under wraps. They don't know what he's going to be playing. And also Natalie Dormer, I think, just joined right before we started from like Game of Thrones and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I like both Extraction movies a lot. I think they're cool. Interesting. Like as far as stuff from the John Wick coaching tree, I think it's like the best, I would say. Like I'm trying to think of anything that would even come close. Like Nobody, for example, another John Wick coaching tree movie. But I think both the Extraction movies are among the best. Cool fight scenes, badass, really cool camera work by Hargreave. I don't know his involvement level on this. I don't hate the idea of doing a spinoff series, although you could argue, look what happened with the Continental and John Wick. As long as Hargreave and like his people or his people have like a direct involvement in making this, I am all in. And I love Holbrook. It's Kentucky boy, right?
Yeah.
Love Holbrook. Like Sai quite a bit. Dormer, I feel like I haven't seen anything in a while, but I like her. I would say I'm in as of now, pending level of involvement from actual people that made Extraction.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat here. I really like the Extraction. Like really, really like them. I think it's like some of the best things Netflix has done. It's like perfect for streaming. But like you said, just there's a certain level you have to get to as a franchise, I think, before you can really start spinning off into these series.
Yeah.
And I think there's been a few film franchises kind of jump the gun on that. And you need the funding for it. You got to have the money to pull this stuff off. Like, pulling off a two-hour movie, or Extraction 2 is actually pretty long, like 2.5-hour movie.
But dude, when you have a 23-hour long take, that looks sick. Like, who cares? You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's simpler than pulling off like an 8-hour series. Like, your resources just get spread thin. And I don't know. It's an action-heavy franchise. Does it play out into, you know, 8 episodes? I don't know. But I do like the cast. You're right. Boyd Holbrook, I'll be there for you day one every single time. Hargreave, you got to be involved in this. That's another guy I'd love to see direct like a movie, though, like a real movie in theaters.
Yeah. I wonder where you'd be good in remaking, because I was tweeting before about how like a Rat Race remake would be sick.
Trying to think.
Like in Akiva Schaffer, specifically Rat Race remake, I think would be really fun.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah. But yeah, he's a very talented action director, and I would love to see him do more. Again, it's just, it really depends on the people involved in this. We had a teaser for the movie Keeper.
This one's brought to you by TickPick. Ever actually read a ticket receipt? Service fee, processing fee, convenience fee? Convenient for who? That's an extra $30 a ticket. TickPick doesn't do that. Never has, never will. No fees means the exact same seat, same section, same row. Cost less on TickPick. Fans trust TickPick for all their live events. Check the reviews yourself. So why overpay for the exact same seat? Download the TickPick app and never pay another service fee again. And for new TickPick customers, take $20 off your first order with promo code PMT20 in the TickPick app. Terms apply. That's PMT20 at checkout for $20 off your first order.
A romantic anniversary trip to a scheduled cabin turns sinister when a dark presence reveals itself, forcing a couple to confront the property's haunting past. Another movie by Osgood Perkins. Tatiana Maslany is the lead. It's the quality drop-off between Long Legs and The Monkey, I think. And to be very clear, the hype going into the Long Legs, like we talked about this a lot with Weapons 2 already, not to rehash this too much, like the hype going into Long Legs, like this is like the best horror movie of the year, holy shit, blah, 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 and it just being like, okay. And then people being like, oh, The Monkey, though, The Monkey's fucking crazy, you're gonna love The Monkey. And then The Monkey being, I know you don't feel the same way. To me, like one of the worst theater experiences I've ever had. And then now I'm at the point where I don't trust anything about Osgood Perkins. Not a word. I'm not interested. I am going to begrudgingly watch it because it is a movie that's coming out. Because I do like Tatiana Maslany a lot. I saw people tweeting about, I guess it's like She-Hulk's anniversary or something like that. Like,
could forget?
Look, I think two things about that series can be true. I think it didn't deserve the level of hatred it got because there are some genuinely very funny parts of it. But at the same time, you can't spend $300 million on a sitcom. Like, it just, there's no world where those two things can, like, it just can't happen. So I like her, but I just don't trust Osgood Perkins one bit.
Yeah, now this trailer looks like, visually speaking, Osgood Perkins just does have the sauce. does he have it as, and I think we talked about this in the Monkey review. These are screenplays that he's writing on his own, I think. I could be wrong. But the, like, as a director, visually, it, again, it looks great, but this did not move the needle for me. And it, maybe it's because Together just came out, and it's kind of a similar, it looks like it's going to be tackling a very similar premise of just codependence in a marriage. Mm-hmm. And turning that into a horror film, which it's like, I can't relate very, I don't know. I just, it's not for me. I'm going to see this, like you said, not very excited for it though. Not really at all, to be honest.
Yeah.
More excited than the next movie we're about to talk about.
Yeah. The next movie. I was about to say, very fascinated in Good Boy. Good Boy. A loyal dog moves to a rural family home with its owner, Todd, only to discover supernatural forces lurking in the shadows as dark entities threaten the human companion. The brave pup must fight to protect the ones he loves the most. You made the great comparison for it when the first sort of byline for it dropped, which was...
It's Courage the Cowardly Dog, live action. That is the premise of Courage the Cowardly Dog. Mm-hmm. He's haunted by premonitions and he tries to alert his owner and save them.
Yeah, that is... Ghouls and goblins and creatures of the night going after the owner, and the dog has to protect them but can't speak. But it, I think the only difference is it won't be doing that like
thing. That's the best part.
Yeah, which I love that part too. But it looked cool. Like, it's well shot, like kind of interesting looking, using some of that old home footage sort of shit to start out with. And then just seeing like the dog like staring at the TV, like in like the little shit in like the periphery of like coming up behind the dog. Like, I'm very interested in this.
Cool premise, well made, well received. I think a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes, which for a horror movie involving an animal, I will say that is shocking. Shocking. And I think I'm going to have to wait to see people's initial reactions after the opening night for this one.
Yeah.
I like horror movies. I like people more than dogs. But something about seeing a dog or any kind of animal put into a perilous situation really... I can't do it for the most part. I really cannot do it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the fact that they have no agency and like no understanding really of what's going on, that I'm like, ah, man, at least a kid can like know they're being kidnapped or fucked with. Like, a dog is just going to be like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But it does. I will say it's very unique and shot well. And I'm interested just based off like how, something like this should not be so positively received. So that alone has me very interested. So
Amy Adams,
the dog must live.
Amy Adams kicking herself right now. You got to think.
Oh
right?
My God.
What the fuck is that movie called again?
Well, wait till this dog learns about being a mother.
Yeah. Oh God damn, man.
Night bitch.
That was it. Damn it. I thought it was just called The Bitch, but I was like, that's not right. Yeah. But yeah.
It's a cute dog.
Yeah, I'd agree. That orange yellow or orange white coloring, very cute ass dog. But yeah, so that is Good Boy. Also, what was that movie? There's a kid called, the kid movie called Good Boys. Do you remember that one from a few years ago where it was like,
oh yeah, that was great. One?
Yeah,
that was that actually, when we talk about 2010 comedies, that does fly under the radar. That's pretty popular with like people younger than us. Yeah. I do remember thinking that was hilarious.
Yeah, it was really solid. And then lastly, just rest in peace to Terrence Stamp, General Zod, also the Chancellor in Star Wars. Really cool. Like, I feel like he had a really cool voice, like a really like perfect British aristocrat voice. You know what I mean? Like him and maybe I compare him and, I don't know if it's fair or not, Jonathan Pryce a lot.
Like
they're very similar kind of vibe to him. And I think he was a very good actor. So rest in peace to Terrence Stamp.
Very good actor. And also just from all accounts, just a legendary coxman.
Yes.
Legendary.
Or there were stories told.
There's also a lot of great stories about just how pretty much everyone he ever ran into contact with ended up becoming famous and like super successful. Like there's like stories of him like, he found the Who, just like randomly, like side quests. Like the man did it all. Found like famous models. Very cool. Very cool life. Lived with, who was it? Lived with Anthony Hopkins for a while in the 60s. They were roommates together. Which
that's fucking sick.
Yeah, big rest in peace, an icon.
That's fucking awesome. But yeah, so rest in peace to Terrence Stamp. A couple of shows just wanted to talk about quick. Chief of War, just briefly. Chief of War has been very good. I'm not sure if you had
I need to get on that.
Yeah,
I want to, but it's the subtitling of it. It's like I need to really set away my attention for it.
I'm a couple episodes behind for that exact reason, where I'm like, I want to watch it while I'm doing something, but I can't, which is, it's not a bad thing. I just need the time to put it towards it. I love that they made it in Hawaiian, because I do think it makes it more immersive as a series. But I need more time to specifically devote towards it. Alien Earth, though, I think we could talk about it a little bit, right? And you've seen that?
Yeah. Just the first episode.
So, yeah, well, so I won't go too far into anything crazy spoiler-wise. But, I mean, Alien Earth, I think very excited going into it, because Noah Hawley, I think, did such a phenomenal job with Fargo on the same network. So very excited for that. And then Romulus had been so good as well. So I think that some of the good stuff about this series so far is that the production value is more in line with like Romulus than most of the other Alien things. It's like, hey, we want you to see big analog buttons. We want you to see like retro tech. We don't want to make it look like all digitized and shit like that. Like, I really, really love the look of it, you never know with a TV show specifically, like how it's going to look. It gets a little, maybe a little shakier when you get in like an outdoor sequence where it's, they obviously need to use green screen for a city or whatever like that, but otherwise good. Actors are all great. That kid from, Andor, I think, is going to crush it this season. I can already feel that coming.
And that kid is a beast.
Yeah. He's so good in Andor. And then the, what's her name, is the main...
Oh, Kyle Chandler's daughter.
Kyle Chandler's daughter, which the fact that he has a 30-year-old daughter is insane to me. Like, but I see it as much, like, he's been perpetually, like, 39 in my head forever. 39. Like, forever, dude. But yeah, she's been good.
I watched King Kong, like, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, and he just looks the exact same he does now.
Exactly.
Has looked that way forever.
But yeah, the actor's been good. The plot is interesting. A lot of like questioning humanity, like what is humanity, consciousness, like stuff like that is all interesting. The only gripe I have with it so far is that I don't think people are scared enough of aliens in this series. There's like people will see some crazy shit and just be like, wow, that's nuts. Let's go over here now. It's like, dude, you just saw the scariest thing you've ever seen in your entire life. You should be terrified. But other than that, really enjoying it so far.
Yeah, no, that's the Noah Hawley experience. Humans will not act like humans throughout this series.
Fair.
Yeah, like the stylization, that's exactly what I was looking for from Noah Hawley, and he came out swinging. I love it. It just looks so good. So much better than just a lot of the other franchise stuff you'll get on TV. Now, will this all pan out and will the story be satisfying and conclusive? I don't think so. But I love this franchise and I love Alien, so give it to me. And I've really enjoyed the cast so far. The casting, it's been great.
Yep. The, what do you call it? Timothy Olyphant, very good as well. Yeah, him in that white wig is fucking cool.
That fucked up white wig.
It looks cool. I also like the guy who plays Boy Cavalier, the CEO of this new company. I thought he was cool. Trying to think if who else to shout out just from it. But yeah, I think pretty much everything very interesting so far. I love that they went more in the direction of something like Romulus as far as production goes, because they could have really gone in the other direction and fucked it all up.
I know, which people, there are a lot of Alien fans, and the Alien franchise like has the weirdest fan base, because like every single one of the movies has shooters, and then they like some people really fucking hate some of them. Like,
yeah,
they'll be like, Alien Covenant's great, fuck aliens, or like, dude, aliens, it's crazy, is the best alien. Like, my parents are like, people in like, you know, the Gen X territory growing up, well, the general convention or like the general consensus was that Aliens was the better movie, and that is completely flipped the past decade, I'd say. So the fan base is all over, but like, if Noah Hawley had gone down the Ridley Scott route and tried to, you know, tie up some of his loose ends or go down the paths that Ridley Scott had set up, no one would have liked that. Like, that's Ridley Scott's lane to go down, and Noah Hawley should do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could not agree more. Dude, Alien 3 has a lot of shooters now, too. Like, it's all of them.
The only one that really doesn't is Resurrection.
I saw you
rewatched that a few weeks ago, didn't you?
Dude, it's so bad. It's
so bad.
It's atrocious.
The basketball scene is one of the craziest things ever. Oh my God.
The concept of it is so dumb. Like, they fuse alien and human DNA into Ripley, and then they make the new alien, which thinks Ripley's her mom, and like, it's fucking horrible. Ron Perlman, though, cutting a rug in that one, did a great job, for whatever worth. And no disrespect to your what's her name, either Sigourney Weaver did really good.
Sigourney Weaver, yeah.
And fucking Winona Ryder, damn, man, that was a weird cast. But yeah, it was AVP also, by the way. AVP is, I would say, more shooters than
Resurrections,
but not by much.
There's definitely some AVP people out there. they exist 100%.
Yeah. AVP 2 also, was it like Requiem?
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, not good. Don't worry about it. You're good. So yeah, that is Alien Earth. Very interested to see the next episode of it. Now we can talk about Nobody 2. So Nobody 2, suburban dad Hutch Mansell, a former lethal assassin, is pulled back into his violent past after thwarting a home invasion, setting off a chain of events that unravels secrets about his wife Becca's past and his own. The director went, it's actually the guy who directed the first one, I believe a Russian fellow, he went to go do Heads of State. So this one then got directed by Timo Tijanto, who I know from a few Indonesian action movies, which are awesome. Like really, really, really good action movies. Like that's why I'd say reasonably excited. Like as far as replacing a director goes, like that's about as good as you can get in a John Wick family tree movie. Derek Kolstad wrote it again. He also wrote the first one. He also wrote John Wick, all the Wick movies and all stuff like that. Bob Odenkirk, Connie Nielsen, Christopher Lloyd, all returning. John Ortiz, RZA, Sharon Stone, Colin Hanks in this one.
Outshine is the number one frozen fruit bar brand in America. And once you try them, it's easy to see why. Their fruit bars and mini fruit pops are made with real fruit or fruit juice using simple ingredients you can pronounce. That means no high fructose corn syrup and no artificial colors or flavors. Outshine bars are gluten-free and even a good source of vitamin C. And the flavor lineup? It's stacked. We're talking strawberry, mango, coconut, watermelon, pineapple, cherry, you name it, there's something for whatever you're craving. You've got classic fruit bars, mini fruit pops, and fruit blends that swirl multiple flavors together. Think pina colada, cherry limeade, and more. Find your new favorite refreshing snack, Outshine, at retailers nationwide.
I would say I enjoyed the first movie way more than I thought I would, based on the initial like presentation where they're like, hey, here's Bob Odenkirk being John Wick, and you're like, what the fuck, like how's this gonna work? But I would say like I was entertained by the first one a decent amount. I didn't love this one. I think that story-wise it's just a rerun of the first one, except they added in a lot more moving parts, which, like, you know, underbosses, side characters, kids like doing more stuff, wife doing more stuff. Like this, I think, could have been like a simpler the better type deal. Like, hey, just straight up, here's a good guy, here's a bad guy, let's watch them clash. And I feel like it got a little too complicated. But other than that, the action, I think, looked cool. Really cool kills. The action, like, shoot stuff, bomb stuff, trap-wise, like, all that stuff looked good. But it's not one where I'm like, wow, this could actually be a real franchise. This is more like, that was an exception to the rule, the first one.
Yeah, no, I was always a little confused on why they decided to. I mean, I get why they did, but wasn't like nobody, the original, was like making gangbusters at the box office. It was a fine little surprise, but here we are reviewing the sequel. I did not hate this as much as you did, but I share a lot of your complaints. It's definitely a retread, especially in like the humor department. A lot of the gags are retreads from the first movie. With that being said, the action is just like front to back. Like, you start with action. There's never more than 4 minutes, 5 minutes without action. Smart play, especially when we consider this movie is 88 minutes long.
Yeah.
I sat down and saw this at 10 o'clock this morning. I was out by lunch. That's a good, good feeling. And I think more than anything, I just really like Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
He's just very charming. And I can imagine dads across America watching this movie with big old smiles on their face.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day,
that could be me. That's me. If shit goes down, that's me.
There are so many moments in this movie that are like, this is just for dads. Like, this is so for dads. Like, he's fucking up nonstop in his marriage. Like, he never once does anything to fix his marriage. There's nonstop. Like, it starts out like he's being a bad husband basically by like just going out and working all the time. He never stops doing that. His wife just comes to accept it. She's just like, his hot Connie Nielsen wife is just like, no, honey, it's fine. And his son is cool. He doesn't get beat up. He beats other kids up.
Yep.
The wife can shoot with the best of them. It's so funny. It's so fucking funny. I don't know. Something about it is so absurd and silly and ridiculous. Like, and putting it on vacation was a nice change of like scenery. I did like that. Gives you a few more gags that you can pull out. Not a great movie, but fun. And I will definitely be telling like every man over the age of 40 with children to go see this. Yeah. Go see this movie.
You'll like it. It's a very like dad coded bird movie for sure.
Yeah. It's four dads. 100%.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh no. Connie Nielsen's mad at me. Oh no. Sharon Stone's mad at me now. Whoa.
You know what character I really liked? I like Colin Hanks quite a bit. That goofy ass haircut really fucking killed me.
That fucking haircut. Oh my God. I wanted to take, there was two other people in my theater, so I couldn't pull my phone out, but I wanted to take a picture when he pulled his hat off for the first time. You saw that fucked up. Well, I don't even know what you call that. Like a
mohawk kind of, but like not really. Like
it's the Williamsburg special, the Bushwick special. I'm Colin Hanks. Using him as a prick is perfect, though. They tried to make him Tom for a while, and he looks 95% like Tom, but that 5% converts Colin Hanks from being like America's dad to like just a smarmy, annoying like pencil pusher or like just thorn in your side. I don't know.
Yeah, they Noah Hawley used him in one of the seasons of Fargo. And he was really good in that too. But as like a kind of like a coward cop. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that was a really good role for him too. But yeah, this one, other side, he's like the dickhead corrupt cop. And I think he was awesome. Like, he was like a perfect dickhead. That haircut really fucking made me laugh every time I saw it. And I love that. I thought the security guard hitting the daughter in the head got a belly laugh out of me. That was like the most
comedy. Who would do that?
Dude, he hit a kid's daughter like right in front of the dad. Gave her like a fucking smack in the head. Dude. That killed me. That was like so outlandishly evil. It made me laugh. And then, of course, like you want to talk about dad movie vibe, immediately hit like, no, you guys go wait outside. I'm going to go beat everyone in here's ass. Like that's the dad move. Yeah.
He faces no repercussions. Zero. None. He's just constantly causing a scene.
Mm-hmm. And no one cares.
One more thing, because we don't have to talk a lot about this movie. Sharon Stone, one thing, just that's what you bring Sharon Stone in for. Just gyrating all over the place, doing an over the top villain performance. Dude. And what's his face? RZA pulling out the samurai sword. Yeah.
Rule number one.
Don't bring a fucking machete to a katana fight.
Katana fight. So I thought Sharon Stone is I think a bit of a dud, only because they wrote her like, she reminded me of, you remember the Santa skit from I Think You Should Leave?
Which one?
The one where he's like in an action
Crashmore?
Movie. Crashmore, yeah. Listen to me, motherfucker. You're fucking dead. You're a fucking piece of shit, motherfucker. Like, she just kept rattling off lines and curses at him over and over.
Everyone would be like, you don't understand. She's crazy.
Yeah. And that part, I think she was a bit of a dud as far as like a primary antagonist. But other than that, like, the action's good again. The traps are cool. Fucking Chris Lloyd up in a tower shooting an old-timey Gatling gun at people. Like, that's blowing people up with, like, spikes and C4 and ball pits. And, like, there's a primary objective of this movie's success, right? It's just, like, the story is a rerun and it's not very, it doesn't need to be super compelling, but it needs to be a little compelling, you know?
Oscar Nunez. Why did my dad leave me this amusement park?
Yeah.
It's a curse.
I'm cursed with this splish-splash fucking water park, dude. Yeah, that was tough. So I think that there's parts of it, again, that are, like, if you're going to the movie for a specific thing, it can satisfy that. Other than that, not thrilled.
Yeah, you don't need to rush to the theater to see this one. It'll probably be on streaming in 2 weeks. This is the kind of movie that I'm actually shocked didn't go straight to streaming. But I've had worse times at the theater.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. A couple of good action scenes and some belly laughs and I'm good for the most part. Like you get that. And Colin Hanks taking off that hat alone was worth the price of admission. So yeah, that's Nobody 2, a little bit of a shorter one. But now we're going to be doing a combined ranking of the most anticipated movies for the rest of the year. Let me share my screen just so we can both look at it. Portion. Okay, you can see that, right?
Oh yeah.
All right. So I gave you a list of, I think, like 20-ish movies. I unless there's some crazy one that you wanted to add in that I forgot. I think I got most of the ones that should be roughly around here, and then we can round out our top 10 from there. I already organized out my top 10, but I have no idea what yours would look like. So if you want, I can start first and then you can go. How do you feel?
Yeah, that sounds good.
So let's do, I'll bump us out with Frankenstein. How do you feel about that? The Guillermo del Toro Frankenstein with Jacob Elordi.
Hell yeah. Let's get it. Let's put all three Frankensteins on this.
It's like 80 of them this year. Which comes out, by the way, October 17th. I'll put the dates
on Netflix, correct? Netflix.
On Netflix, yeah. Straight to...
Which Netflix does have kind of a stacked fall slate. Like, they will be competing for Oscars.
It's one of those things where we say it, and then, like, they end up fucking them all up, you know?
That's true. That is true. I feel good about that, though. This is one of those... I love the casting.
Yes.
I know some people were like, what the fuck, Jacob Elordi? But that's exactly why. He's the most handsome man in Hollywood right now. He's the hot shot. And fucking up his face and turning him into a goddamn monster is very interesting to me. And this is really where GDT just thrives. The monster lane.
Monster shit. Also, Oscar Isaac, like you mentioned, I think Mia Goth, Lars Mikkelsen, Christoph Waltz, Charles Danzig. There's a good ass cast attached to this. Like, and obviously, extremely talented and creative. So, interested in that. So, Frankenstein off the board. Now you're up.
Ooh. Where do I go from here? Where's the list? I'm trying to find the list. Sorry. Man.
Do you want? I can give you what I had. What I was thinking for the next one, unless you'd rather.
Let me hear it.
I was thinking Wicked for Good as the next one.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
You don't think it should be in the top 10?
No.
So the next would be probably Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere.
You know what I'm going to put in there? I'm going to put The Rock's Oscar bait in there.
Smashing Machine?
Smashing Machine. Give me Smashing Machine.
I had that higher, but I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I could see, like, it's definitely higher in terms of, like, I want to see if this actually ends up being the Oscar contender it's being sold and pushed as. But the other side of it is, it looks good. Like, the newer trailers, every new trailer we've gotten for this has been better than the last, and The Rock legitimately looks like he's turning in a performance here. He looks like he's doing something. I don't know. It's fascinating. We've shit on The Rock for the past 5 years after trying to get him on the pod for many years, trying to trap him through Terramana Tequila. And now him trying to redefine his career at 55 years old. I don't know.
He's like, cool. Every trailer, he's playing a character and not just being himself as an entertainer, which I find very fascinating. Him actually acting versus just kind of being a version of himself.
The movie's going to end with Mark Kerr grabbing the tan safari shirt that he wears.
God, no. So the Smashing Machine off the board. I think then, like, I have most of my top grouping set. I think I need to actually go down then, and I would say, okay, I'm between two. Let's say either Springsteen, which, like, it's weird. I don't want to put it that high, though, because I'm not that interested in it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not, like, I'm sure it's going to be very good. I'm just not, like, the biggest, like, I don't know enough about really any musician, but, like, Springsteen to be, like, hyped up about it. I'm not, like, a huge mega fan, but I am, obviously, he's an American icon, and Jeremy Allen White is, like, on a tear. So, you know what? Maybe it should be Spinal Tap 2.
You feeling good about that?
Not really. You know what? Here's the thing. I'll say Springsteen for now. Again, I'm not like...
I think that's a great pick. Listen, I think that movie's going to be good. I know people want to shit on musical biopics. When they're good, they're good. There's a reason people keep making them.
Yeah. And it's Mangold, right? Am I crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, obviously...
Mangold. I mean, you got Jeremy Strong on the cast. Like, it's... I think it'll be good.
Oh, wait, no, it's Scott Cooper. I'm stupid. It's Scott Cooper did Crazy Heart, which obviously proof's in the pudding there. He can do a musical story with no issue. But yeah, so Jeremy Allen White, Jeremy Strong, Paul Walter Hauser. My boy just keeps working, man. Goddamn. Stephen Graham, Gabby Hoffman, Mark Maron, David Krumholtz, got a crew. And that's coming out the October 24th. Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere. You are up.
There we go. Here comes a curveball, but I do think it's going to be a contender, or at least an interesting contender as the year rolls along. And it's got two of my favorite people in Hollywood behind the scenes on it. We have a Richard Linklater movie coming up starring Zoe Deutsch. That is Neuve. I can't say it. It's a French title. Neuve Vague. Vague. However you say it.
Neuve?
N-O-V-N-O-U-V. You'll know it. It's going to get a push coming Neuve. Up. It's about Jean-Luc Godard. Neuve. I can't see this. I can't speak French. I have a French last name and I can't do this. N-O-U-V-E-L-L-E.
Neuve?
Space. Yes.
Nouvelle Vague. Okay.
Dedication isn't born in the light of day. It's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission to deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head. Committed to craft since 1905.
There we go. I can't say the title, but I'm excited for it.
What the fuck? I don't even hear about this. Am I stupid? Oh, wait. Oh. Okay. All right.
Yes, and it's made completely... It's Richard Linklater making a French New Wave film, or it's a biopic about Jean-Luc Godard making Breathless, made in the style of French New Wave, which is just a fucking absurd thing to try and do as an American from Austin, Texas. And I'm here for it. Fucking own those Frenchmen. Make a better French New Wave movie than they've made in 30 years.
Look,
do it.
There's just no way that can be the seventh most anticipated movie. There's just no fucking way.
Throw the veto out then.
But then you're going to make it the sixth most or seventh or fifth most anticipated movie.
No, I won't.
There's no fucking way this can be. It can't be the seventh. It can't. Fuck, I'm going to have to veto you. I have to. I have no choice. And they could end up screwing us later. I can't. That can't be in the top 10. I know you're Linklater super stan, and I appreciate the attempt, but it can't be.
All right. Give me The Running Man. I'm excited for The Running Man.
Oh, this low.
I'm for it. Yeah, we got some other stuff coming up.
That comes the...
I've got like five movies in my head for the top five.
And that's November 14th.
Yes. From Edgar Wright, starring Glenn Powell. We've talked about this before, but The Running Man, as a premise, as a Stephen King novel, feels untapped. I know there's the Arnold movie, but it's, from what I understand, a bit of a bastardization of the source material. And I just trust Edgar Wright to make a better movie than that, to be honest. The guy's a good filmmaker. Last Night in Soho had its problems, but not enough for me to ever give up on that man.
Yeah.
And Glenn Powell, we were getting near overexposure there for a second, but he pulled back and this will be the first thing we see him in. Is that Chad Power series coming out before that?
Good question. Actually, I don't know.
But anyways, we haven't had him for a while. I'm excited to have him back.
Edgar Wright, also Michael Bacall wrote it, who did Scott Pilgrim, but also wrote both Jump Street movies and Project X. What a filmography for him. Simon Kinberg also produced. So Glenn Powell, William H. Macy, Lee Pace. Ooh, I didn't even realize Lee Pace was in this movie. Michael Cera, Coleman Domingo is playing the like game show host guy, and then Josh Brolin. Hell of a cast. Great director. I enjoy the original movie with Arnie as well, for whatever that's worth. It's not like a classic piece of cinema or anything, but still.
Can't touch it. Can't remake it.
Yeah. Next up. Fuck, man. I had Running Man so much higher, so now this kind of screws up the rest of my rankings.
Okay.
So, like, I don't think Predator Badlands deserves to be much higher than, like, the lower part of this. but I also am anticipating The Running Man way more than I'm anticipating Predator Badlands, so I'm in a bind here. I might just end up not being able to use it is the issue here, because I don't feel like it's fair to put it back up there. So let's say Wake Up Dead Man. How about that? Knives Out.
Okay.
You think that's good?
Okay. I could be here for that.
Knives Out movie?
Both of them have been good so far. That's for sure. And I love Benoit Blanc. I think he's like one of the better original characters we've gotten in a long time. He's very fun. Every time he's on, I've said this before. I would take 10 more Knives Out movies. I would want Daniel Craig and Rian Johnson to keep making these until the wheels fall off. Like,
agreed. This one, by the way, Craig, obviously, but also Josh O'Connor as a reverend. Oh, yeah. Glenn Close as Martha Delacroix. That's love that already. Josh Brolin, Mila Kunis, Jeremy Renner, Kerry Washington, Andrew Scott, Kaylee Spaney, Thomas Hayden Church. Man, what a crew. What a damn crew. Is. Very, very excited for Wake Up Dead Man. And that's December 12th. So it'll be a nice little treat for winter. So Wake Up Dead Man off the board. You're up.
I'm going to go with the yearly Yorgos Lanthimos Emma Stone collaboration, Begonia, this time. Starring Stavros. Mm-hmm. Not only is like Yorgos just one of the most fun filmmakers going, this premise rules. I'll read it out. If you're not familiar, the title, I wish they had changed it. That's a crazy title. The premise is two conspiracy-obsessed young men kidnap the high-powered CEO of a major company, convince that she's an alien intent on destroying planet Earth. That's just funny. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Emma Stone being the CEO, Jesse Plemons being one of the kidnappers, Alicia Silverstone in there as well. This is across the board. It's got me excited. I'm here for it.
Yeah, very, very excited for Begonia as well. That is October 24th. The only hesitation I had was like, is this a movie we've seen like 8,000 times, like radicalized online guy going after famous persons, like the Saving Silverman combined with like, you know, fucking whatever you call it. That's sort of like social one-sided sort of movie, which like we've kind of moved past from, I think. So that's my only worry, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's Yorgos. So I'm sure it'll be done in a good way. Okay, I know my number one, and I know probably my number two. There's a movie that I know both you and me are going to want probably in the top three. This is really tough. I'm going to say Avatar Fire and Ash. How do you feel about that?
Okay. I would have gone higher, probably. But
I was thinking of putting it three.
Top five. I mean, we're good. We're good.
Yeah, I would have had it. It was in my my number three spot or four spot, but now I gotta improvise a little bit to save our top two spots. So I'm gonna kind of put the onus on you for number three. We obviously saw the big trailer for it. The 3D trailer was sick. Very as much. Even if you want to like dump on it, like oh, it's not culturally relevant. Blah, blah, blah. These movies make $2 billion a year. People care about them. It's whatever. But like they're cool. They're interesting. This effects are stuff you'll never see anywhere else. And Jimmy C always swings to the fences. So respect.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like an Avatar movie. There's no replacing it. There's nothing else that can fill that gap.
Yeah.
There's other movies. Every other movie on this list, there's been other films that can somewhat satiate that taste. There's nothing that can satiate Avatar except for Avatar. Like, it's just one-of-a-kind movie making. Mm-hmm. I'm pumped for it. Next up, I don't know if you have this on the list, but I feel like we have to put on Sentimental Value, right?
Okay.
The Trier movie, the front runner as of now for Best Picture from Joachim Trier, Worst Person in the World, would be what you most recently saw him direct. Stars Elle Fanning.
Stellan.
Yeah, just a lot of, and people are saying Stellan is going to be the front runner for Best Actor. A lot of good hype coming out of Cannes, which sometimes means something, sometimes means it's going to be terrible. But his last movie was great. So I expect this one to be great as well. And I just trust people sometimes.
I'm trying to read the Norwegian title of it. It's it affects John's Verdi. That's a tough one.
I'm looking at it now.
That's a tough one. So sentimental value, I will go with for the next one. I think it's got to be Marty Supreme. Marty Supreme's got to be the next one. Timothy Chalamet's next big movie, ton of Oscar hype. Although we've talked about it before, that doesn't necessarily translate all the time. It might just be because he had such a great press cycle and so much hype going into the last Oscars. It's one of those things that every time I watch the trailer, which shout out to Lugie Lunchbox getting onto the trailer for that, getting into that movie. Fucking awesome for him. But it's one of those ones where how dramatic can you make a movie about ping pong? Like what's the ceiling here? But at the same time, like, I don't know. I trust Timmy.
I trust Timmy and I trust Safdie quite a bit. And that trailer really got me going. I was excited for it before then. Now I'm very excited because it looks like they're delivering on the promise of, I mean, they've said it's going to be like a globe-trotting adventure akin to Catch Me If You Can, which is just the craziest comp to put out for a fucking ping pong movie. And A24, once again, up in the budget. I think this is their biggest film they've ever made.
It's crazy because it's about ping pong.
And right on Christmas Day. This will be the test, I feel like, for Timmy's like actual star power. Dune was going to make money with or without him. So was a Bob Dylan biopic. Is he the star that he's kind of been minted into the past year?
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll find out here. What's that lined up against, by the way? What else is coming out Christmas Day? What is going to be the stupid double feature that Hollywood tries to pitch our way this year? It's my question. Because Marty Supreme does have kind of a...
It's going up against Anaconda.
Okay. Marty, Jack Anaconda,
Sing, Supreme Conda. Song Sung Blue, Hugh Jackman, The Housemaid, Paul Feig and Sydney Sweeney. Sydney Sweeney and Amanda Seyfried movie. Yeah, that's the one.
Okay. Then the Marty Maid. No, see, that doesn't work. Someone else funnier than me will come up with something. Or not. It'll probably be a think group in Hollywood, and they'll put out something stupid like Glick It again. Remember Glick It?
Oh, God.
Should I do the honors?
It tried. Yeah, just throw it up.
Number one. One battle after another based on Thomas Pynchon's Vinland. I don't know. Never heard it said out loud. But reading the book now, I'm so fucking pumped for this movie. I am so pumped. Paul Thomas Anderson, definition of does not miss. I know some people were a little iffy on Licorice Pizza. I fucking love that movie. Rewatched it a week ago. You know this is going to be good. Or at least I know this is going to be good. And Leo really, it looks like one of those vintage Leo yelling nonstop performances, which I always enjoy quite a bit.
Yeah. Could not agree more. And every time I see a new trailer for it, I get more and more hyped up for it. It is crazy how consistent the PTA filmography is. Like, the guy is just like, I'm going to take like 5-6 years to make a movie, but when I make it, it's going to be a fucking rip. Like, it's going to be sick. You know what I mean?
I'm going to write it. I'm going to direct it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a completely different genre than what I've ever done before. He's a very impressive director. Like, when you really look at his filmography, you're like, damn, like, these are different movies and you're making like classics in all of them. This is a good list. I think we did really well. Now we will have to wait to see if Dave tweets out after this. You're excited for Marty Supreme, you're a fucking idiot.
That will make it tough. Here's the rest of the ones that I have.
Which, if you don't know, when we were drafting last time, we got out of that horror draft, and 30 minutes before we finished the horror draft, with Sinners at I think 3 or 2, David tweeted out during the draft, if you think Sinners is good, you're a fucking idiot.
Yep, if you think it's a good movie, I think he said the same thing. Like, we just planned his weekend on weapons or something like that. So here's some of the rest of the ones we were talking about. Predator Badlands, I am very excited for. That would have been like my number 9, I think it was, it's right there, 7. I'm very excited for that, especially because of how good Prey was, although maybe that's hyping up my expectations a little too much. Looking for Good, mentioned before, first one, based on the way better than the trailers made me think they would be. Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues. I like the original Spinal Tap a lot. The more I see trailers for this, I'm just like, how much can you get out of this? I'm like hesitantly excited for Jay Kelly. I don't know about you. I know we talked about it the other week.
I think it'll end up being good. I do think that'll end up being good. I don't know.
Sisu 2, Road to Revenge. I like Sisu a lot.
That's another one like nobody. Like, did we really need Sisu 2?
I liked Sisu 1, I would say, significantly more than I liked Nobody 1, if that makes sense.
Okay, that's fair. That is fair.
So that'd be the only thing, my only counter argument. Roofman, which I am actually, we didn't talk enough about Roofman. Yeah. Did not talk enough about old Roofman with Channing Tatum. It's
the first thing that director's made in 15 years, 10 years.
And then a Big Bold Beautiful Journey with Colin Farrell and Margot Robbie. I think that comes out soon-ish.
Yep.
I believe maybe early September. Idiot.
Those trailers are not doing anything for me.
No, but upsetting. It's the two people, like top-level talents going up against each other. Like, something has to happen good, right? Like, I feel like their Hollywood capital is so high that, like, even if the direction or the writing is bad, like, they will overpower and make something good out of it.
Oh, yeah. Or Amsterdam could happen again. Who knows?
True. Good point. Tron: Ares, also, the more I see that, the less excited I am for it. But at the same, mm-hmm. again, it's like the same.
But by the end of the trailer, once that score really starts cooking, you're like, fine, maybe. Fuck it, I'll be there.
Maybe. And then Now You See Me, Now You Don't.
Hell yeah.
I like the first one quite a bit. Rewatched it the other day. I truly do not like the second one at all. But I don't fucking know. Magic's cool. Even if it's like CGI and fake, I still think it's cool.
Yeah. And I just like that. I like that Jesse's happy. He's really happy making these movies. And that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. Some other ones we missed. Highest to Lowest is coming out next week for most people. I guess for most people will probably watch it on Apple TV, but that could have snuck in, but Spike Lee is very hit or miss, and Apple TV is really non-committal to pushing this. Makes me think that maybe it's not the best thing ever.
The reactions really I've seen are very split. Reviews. I would say. Yeah. I don't know if you saw the same thing.
Might try and go see that tonight. You know, it's playing here in town at a few theaters. Another one would be... There's a few that are like just kind of artsy fartsy, like Hamnet coming up. That's Paul Mescal, and he's got another one, History of Sound, with Josh O'Connor.
Yeah,
That's right. Those have some hype in terms of awards buzz. I don't know if they're necessarily my most anticipated of the year, but there is awards hype behind them. I'm trying to think of what else. I feel like we're missing something big that we haven't talked about. The Long Walk. That's not on this list that I'm looking at, but The Long Walk coming up. From Francis Lawrence. I think that's actually going to end up being pretty good. Mm-hmm. The one with stars Cooper Hoffman and who else? David Johnson from Alien Romulus.
That's right, yeah. And Mark Hamill.
Yeah. So looking forward to that. There's, like we said, most of the good movies start coming out now.
Yes, exactly. Like, we're coming into the ripe season or whatever, like the harvest season.
How do you feel about this year so far?
I'd say it's
We started slow, but
a lot better than the same, like, whatever, two quarters of the last few years, especially post strike, post COVID and all that. So I'd say it's probably the strongest.
Yeah,
I'm thinking since COVID, unless you wanted to count like Everything Ever All at Once as being like, oh well, if that movie came out in whatever March of 2022, then like,
ooh, but 2021 was crazy. Or not 21, 22. The Barbenheimer, Rogue, or Dead Reckoning.
True, those two had already come out. So I guess that would be the best first half. Yeah, good point. So for next week, I think we can do either highest to lowest if we can both see it. We could also do Eden. New Ron Howard banger on the way.
Why don't we do Caught Stealing?
Caught Stealing is, I don't think, for a little bit.
Are you sure?
At least not wide release.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Let me double check.
We should probably do highest to lowest.
That's August 29th, Caught Stealing. Eden, we got Splitsville, and we also have Relay, which looks interesting.
Dave McKenzie. Splitsville. Yeah. Splitsville, if you don't know what it is, it stars Adria Arjona, Dakota Johnson, and then the two male leads are the writer-director combo, who also star in the film.
That always works, right? In a romantic comedy?
Yeah, it's like an unromantic comedy. So it kind of works. It's kind of them getting like just being.
So is it almost like a movie where like a girl runs a flower shop and starts like dating this guy that's a doctor, and then all of a sudden this other guy that she used to date when she was in high school shows up again, and then they find out that the guy she's currently dating is being abusive? Is it like that at all?
No, but that sounds really good. That probably should make $500 million at the box office for some reason.
Yeah, it's a...
Splitsville would be fun, though, if you're a guy, listen to this, especially if you're, like, in your 30s, married. You'd enjoy it. Very, like, Peter Farrelly. It's like Farrelly Brothers meets Elaine May. A lot of fun.
Michelangelo Covino is the guy you're talking about, director and writer and also star. Cal Marvin is the other guy.
Yep.
So yeah, we could probably do Splitsville, or we could do Relay, which Dave McKenzie hasn't made a movie, I feel like, in a hot minute. And that has Riz Ahmed, Lily James, and Sam Worthington in it. But I do think, as far as like, you got to give Spike Lee respect and do Highest to Lowest. Yeah. I think that'll be it for sure. So Highest to Lowest, maybe if Eden, I don't feel like haven't heard a word about Eden.
Nothing. I've heard it stinks.
You've heard it stinks out loud.
I've heard that it's boring. It's like shockingly boring for a movie that stars Vanessa Kirby, Ana de Armas, Jude Law, and Sydney Sweeney, right?
Oh, Lord. 59. God damn, that's tough. Yeah.
Then it's got 59 on Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's tough to do with a cast like that. Holy shit. Jude Law and Daniel Brühl and... Fuck, that sucks. What about Relay? Let's see. 84. Okay. That's not bad. But yeah, so next week, we have to give Spike Lee the respect he deserves and give him a review, especially because it felt bad. There's just nothing to talk about. It's just like, it's there. So we'll do a movie, which hopefully we'll have more to talk about. And hopefully not for the second time in a row has Spike Lee butchered a Asian classic movie. So can only hope, right?
The one that it finally brings Japan and Korea together. they fucking they just end
to ban Spike Lee from ever recreating an Asian movie.
Oh my god! So we'll do that'll be good though.
Yeah. So we'll do that, and until then, we'll see you guys next week.